Last January, as pastor of this church, I designated this year, 2015, to be the year of knowing Jesus. At the time, I handed out scrolls that contained 18 different scripture verses pertaining to our goal of knowing Jesus throughout this year. I also encourage you to look at the verse every day, posting it on a visible place as often as you can, and as a reminder this year that I'm going to get to know Jesus more. And I also told you that I would preach 6 sermons throughout the year on the topic of knowing Jesus. And today I'm doing sermon number 3. I hope and pray that by now we all have been making a progress of knowing Jesus so far. As for my progress, I have kept a journal to record any new insights about Jesus. As of last night, there are over 20 things that I have recorded and I have discovered anew about my relationship with Jesus, who he is and who am I in him, and what he expects of me, and so forth. Let me share with you a couple of things that I discovered anew. First of all, I discovered that to know Jesus means to love him. And to love him means to keep his commandments. So keeping his commandments is a sure sign that I know and love Jesus. In other words, if I do not keep his commandments, that means I do not love him. If I don't love him, no matter how strongly I claim that I know him personally, it still doesn't count. The next thing I discovered anew is this, that to know him also means that I recognize him both in public and in private, without shame or fear. For instance, saying grace in a restaurant for the meal shouldn't be a struggle. So here we go, folks. The sermon number 3, who do we say Jesus is to us and to the world? Have you noticed that in the past couple of months, what's happening in our country? Welcome to the season of presidential election 2016. All over again. Seems like they do not leave us alone, do they? We begin to hear about candidates from both parties. I haven't heard any independent candidate yet. We also hear about how many dollars some candidates have raised in a couple of hours, over $1 million and so on. And their stances on certain issues, and who are the front runners and the who are trailing, all these things and so forth. By the way, how do they know that who's the front runners, who's leading and who's trailing? By polls, right? So for the next year and a half, you and I will hear plenty of polls on candidates from various sources, such as CBS, NBC, CNN, and so forth. Did you know that Jesus once did a poll on himself too? We can see that in today's text. One day, Jesus was curious to know what the people out there said about him. So when he was alone with his 12 disciples, he did an informal survey. He asked his disciples, who do people out there say that the Son of Man is? Referring to himself, Son of Man. One answered, some say John the Baptist. Another disciple said, they say you are Elijah. Another chipped in saying, they consider you Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus turned to them saying, who do you say that I am? And Peter, one of the 12 disciples, hit the bullseye. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter called Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed. By the way, Messiah, there are 3 offices in the Old Testament times, in Jesus' time too. God anointed them and God appointed them to the 3 things. Number 1 is the kings. Whenever you have a new king, they anoint the king with oil. When you have a new priest assigned, then they anoint the priest with oil. Third one is when you have a new prophet, they also anoint that prophet with oil. Okay? In Christ, in the Messiah, had all three offices in one. So when Peter confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, you know, Jesus said, "You are truly blessed." And he said that it was God in heaven who revealed to him the true identity of Jesus, not human beings. No humans could give such an understanding. Only God could. So if you have the confession on Jesus Christ as Peter did, you are truly blessed. It is God who gave you that faith and understanding. By the way, you must also consider other opinions on Jesus at the time of Jesus, 2,000 years ago. By the way, they were not included in today's reading. And let me tell you what they were. First of all, do you remember the doubting Thomas? The guy who doubted that Jesus has risen from the dead? He says, "I'm not going to believe the risen Christ unless I put my finger in his scars and in his side." And when Jesus says, his name is Thomas, "Thomas, why don't you put your finger on my side and my scars here and believe?" And doubting Thomas declared that, "My Lord and my God." Okay? That's what he called Jesus. There are some other religious leaders, such as Pharisees and Sadducees in the Bible, called Jesus a troublemaker. Did you know that? They also called him a Samaritan. Some of us have no idea what's the big deal, Samaritan. Let me explain to you a little bit historical, you know, the facts. The people of Israel, they used to have a one kingdom, united kingdom, under the reign of King David. You heard of it, King David, David and Goliath. And then David had a son whose name was Solomon. So for two kings and their reigns, they were one kingdom. However, on the third king, the kingdom was divided. Okay, between north and south. Okay, the southern part had Jerusalem and small portion, and northern part about 8 or 9 tenths of the entire territory went to the northern kingdom. What happened is that the northern kingdom lasted for the next 200 years until the kingdom of Assyria invaded and destroyed the northern part. So what they did is that they took all the captives from the northern kingdom and transplanted them in someplace else. And in that place, vacant place, they brought the entire foreigners and transplanted them there too. Okay? So what do you do when you have new people and they happen to get married each other and their descendants and so on? So the Samaritans were the descendants of this mixed marriage. In Jewish mind, you are not pure blood of people of Israel. You are mixed breed, therefore you are not kosher, and they begin to despise them and begin to call them Samaritans. And in Jesus' time, they were treated as subhuman, and even they were called dogs. Okay? Can you imagine that some religious leaders called Jesus a Samaritan? Or worse, they called Jesus a demon. Or even insane. You're a lunatic. Now folks, I'm not making this up. They are all found in the Gospels. So you heard it all. Several opinions on Jesus that existed 2,000 years ago in the land of Palestine. From John the Baptist to prophets, from the Messiah to a demon, from God to a lunatic. Today, like the first century, we too in America have a wide spectrum of understanding of who Jesus is. Some believe that he is equal to God. Others consider Jesus a prophet. More others think that he is a good moral teacher, such as Confucius or Socrates. Mahatma Gandhi was one of them. He says, "I love Jesus and his teachings, but I don't take him as my savior." Even worse, some of us consider Jesus a myth, non-historical figure. If you go to some theologians nowadays, they say, "No, it was all made up. You know, he was not really there." How about Jesus as an insurance policy for heaven? Some of us just want to make sure that cover every base. Make sure. I remember 40 years ago I was a baby Christian back then, and I was attending Sunday school, and my Sunday school teacher threw a question at every one of us, to all high school kids. What if, folks, Jesus were in hell? Question is, would you still follow him there to hell, or would you rather stay in heaven having nothing to do with Jesus? Of course, we all knew that Jesus would not be in hell, but the question is, are you following Jesus, or are you following heaven? And Jesus is like a secondary. It sure made all the students in Sunday school think twice about our true motive in believing and following Jesus. Now, before you say anything about Jesus, you must consider other facts too. This time, some outrageous claims that Jesus had made about himself. I'm going to present to you three claims that Jesus has made for himself. First one is this. He said, I and the Father, meaning God, are one. He made himself equal to God. He even said, one of the disciples asked Jesus, Master, please show us God. We will be very happy and content if we see the face of God. You know what Jesus said? Do you see me? And you have seen God. He said that he was with God before the creation of the world, and he claimed that he was older than Abraham. Abraham was active over 2,000 before Christ was born. Okay? So when the Jewish authorities heard this one, they thought, you're crazy! You're not even 50 years old yet, and you say that you're before Abraham. They wanted to stone him to death. That's the first claim he said. I'm equal to God. Second claim, he said that he has authority to forgive sins on earth. Once again, this didn't go well with the Jewish mind, because in the Jewish mind, they only consider there is only one person divine. God alone has that authority to forgive anyone's sins. And Jesus says that, hey, by the way, folks, I do have that. And in their mind that not even Moses, not even Abraham, not even Noah had authority to forgive sins, but you do? And they were just so mad against Jesus, they wanted to stone him to death. Third claim he made is that I have risen from the dead, the first fruit who rose from the dead. Now you have it all. Now it's your turn. Who do you say that Jesus is? Now, whatever you say about him, one thing you don't want to do is this, sitting on the fence. For instance, you don't want to say that Jesus was a good moral teacher while you reject his claims. You know why? Because no good moral teacher makes a false claim about himself. Let's listen to C.S. Lewis. He was a theologian in the 20th century. I quote, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That people follow that logic. That is one thing that we must not say, Lewis continues. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus has said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is and the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Lewis continues, now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and indeed is God. End of quote. It was C.S. Lewis. Make up your mind today, folks, because your confession of who Jesus is makes a world of difference in your walk with God, in your worship and services, and in your daily life. If your life has, as a believer, has been boring, or your commitment to the Lord rather mediocre, you and the Lord decide, it, in my humble opinion, is a direct outcome of your fuzzy understanding and even confession of Jesus. Even Jesus did not like that kind of attitude. He said to the church in Laodicea 2,000 years ago, I quote, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. If you take Jesus as he claims to be, as the Son of the living God and the Messiah and the Lord of the world and your personal Savior, your walk with God will be revolutionized because he means everything to you. So folks, this morning, I urge you to declare your confession on Jesus. Ask yourself, who do I say that Jesus is? Who is he to me? Do not delay your declaration. Do not be half-hearted either. Let me tell you what mine is. To me, Jesus is the God incarnate, means that God came into the human flesh. Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah and my Savior who died on the cross to save me from my sins. And he is my Lord. To him, I give my life and undivided allegiance. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer in Jesus. And what is yours? May God reveal the true Jesus to you as he did to Peter. Let's bow heads in prayer. Awaken us, Lord, from the spiritual sleep and open our eyes to see what really matters. Grant us the wisdom to count our days on earth. If it is long and healthy, it's going to be 80, 90 years old. But that's not it. The life eternal awaits us beyond our physical death. Help us to remember that every single moment. And help us also to remember God's plan for us, not just on this earth, but the life waiting for us eternally. And that's why Christ came. To save us, to bring us, and to connect and reconnect our being to Christ again and in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being my and our Savior and Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.